Hello, 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 all you lovely people. Hello from the captain's deck and from the bell, the ship's bell. So welcome back to Psych Illogical with Captain Shori. And this time we've picked up another topic which is very close to my heart. It's got to do with stereotyping, body shaming, calling people names based on their appearances. It's not a good thing to do, we all know that, but I thought it's time to toss it around, discuss it with a few people who are from the psychology industry and from the filmmaking industry, where apparently looks matter a lot. So we've got two guests coming up. Let's dive straight into it and see what they have to say. So for this session of Psych Illogical with Captain Shori, we have two guests with us. One is Zehen from Mumbai. Hi, Zehen.
Hi.
And we also have Shivam from Mumbai with us. So before we move on, I would like Zehen and Shivam to give us a quick introduction about themselves. Let's start with ladies first. Zehen, go.
Hi, my name is Zehen Shori and I'm from Mumbai, as Captain said. I'm a yoga instructor as well as a psychology graduate.
Yoga instructor and a psychology graduate. That sounds like a dangerous combination. Okay. Shivam, let's hear about you.
Yeah, hi, Captain. Hi, everybody. My name is Shivam Pal. I originally belong to Dehradun, but I'm in Mumbai at the moment, and I am an actor. And I'm also a writer, and I've directed a couple of short films. So, yeah, that's about me.
Okay, so we've got somebody from the creative arts with us, Shivam, who's an actor, writer, and directing films as well. And we've got somebody who's from the psychology as well as fitness background. Okay, guys, today's topic is going to be something which is kind of worrisome to most people in the world. Some openly, some not so openly. Some people call it body shaming. And some people say you are stereotyping. In fact, the younger generation also at times says the famous line, "Don't judge me for who I am by the way I look." Now, do you guys agree that a thing like this does exist?
Personally, I definitely feel like this does exist, and even though I think awareness about it has begun, but I think it still very much does exist, especially with the up-and-coming social media sites and platforms that exist now. I think it's more deep-rooted than it has been before.
So you think actually it's true that people put up a photograph and then on the basis of what comments they get, they might actually change that photograph on social media?
That actually happens. Yes, that does happen. Depending on what sort of audience you're building over the years on social media, and like you mentioned about body shaming and the way you portray yourself, being from this field, I understand it a lot. Like, it's closer to home.
Uh-huh.
So the amount of, I mean, the kind of photos that you put on social media and the response you get on them dictates the next photo that you're going to upload in most of the cases.
Right. But if you actually look at it, let's ask Shivam since he's jumped in here. So Shivam, if we leave the requirement of a particular character that one is going to play in a film, we'll leave that alone because that is not defined by who you actually are. That is more defined by the script, what it demands. But we actually leave that out and talk of a situation where you might be stereotyped as being fit for a particular part of the industry just because you are on the heavier side or the leaner side, or you are relatively shorter or taller than your other counterparts. Now, that can get bothering if I'm right or wrong. And if it does, what could be the repercussions of something like that?
I'm glad you asked this question, because in our industry, if I'm to be really frank, there are three kinds of casting directors. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little technical.
No, it's all right.
I think this needs
to
be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
There are three kinds of casting directors.
Mm-hmm.
Ones who have... Okay. I'll establish a baseline first. Almost every casting director has have folders on their systems where they name the folders according to how you look, primarily how you look.
Right.
So, I mean, imagine there's one casting director who only goes to those folders. I mean, when they look at you, they go to a particular folder and then they add your photos to that one particular folder because that is the only definition about you. Like, for example, you're tall. Okay, you go in that folder, tall.
Ah, right.
Or you're the fat friend, you go into that folder, fat friend. Now, imagine if you know that in somebody's laptop or in somebody's phone, you're going into a folder called the fat friend. Now,
mm-hmm.
imagine the repercussion that would have on your mind. I think Zen would be able to elaborate more on that. Imagine being stereotyped as the fat friend.
Wow.
Imagine you have to live with that in the industry as the fat friend. Unless you do something about it, obviously, unless you probably decide to lose weight, unless you decide to look a little different. But yeah, so there's that one casting director. Then there's that one casting director who's probably a little better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a third kind of casting director who's the creative kind.
Correct.
Who looks beyond what the character, who looks beyond what the physical traits of the physical attributes of the character is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cast accordingly. So, I mean, imagine if you happen to meet that one casting director who stereotypes you as the fat friend.
Right.
And puts your photos in that character, in that folder of fat friend.
Right.
Now, that will have certain bad, according to me, in my opinion, definitely it'll have some bad repercussions in your head.
Correct. You know, I think Zen, as Shivam has already said it, I think I would like you to add what could be the repercussions more from a psychological and a fitness point of view on a particular person.
So exactly what I was getting at. So like he mentioned, it in psychological terms, we call it labeling.
Okay.
So for example, if a person may look at themselves in the mirror and maybe not feel anything is wrong with them, but then if they hear that label from someone else, it tends to affect their psychological state more. So even though they may be completely happy and confident to begin with,
mm-hmm.
the constant put down or just being labeled as a particular thing might actually force you to think of yourself in that way.
Right.
Then goes ahead and causes further problems and gives rise to maybe things like an eating disorder or, you know, depression or sometimes anxiety when you go out in public because you're always tiptoeing around people and wondering how you come across and, you know, hiding your body maybe is that what.
Okay. I'd like to, you know, because the show is actually called Psych Illogical. So I'm going to take you guys on a slightly what is not the norm or the logical side of looking at it in today's times. But let's go back a few years. Let's go like let's go back a few decades where it was relatively okay for a friend to call the other friend, hey, fatso, or hey, shorty, or hey, baldy. You know, these were terms which were okay. But from what I begin to see now, being on the other side of your age, probably we felt it was okay. But I would not put my money now that the guys who were actually called by these names, was it okay with them? See, the other guys probably felt it was okay. But I'm not really sure, was it actually okay? Shivam, what do you think? Like, do you think people actually take these things to heart, whereas the other one might just be making it in a passing statement?
I do think people take this to their heart. I'm from a boys' boarding school.
Right.
And nicknames in a boys' boarding school are vicious.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to put it very plainly.
And
the worst part is most of these nicknames stick around for like decades, even when like, you meet your friends after about 30 years or so. Like I see my seniors and my batchmates and their fathers who've been to the same school, and then they address each other with the same nickname. And personally, I feel like, yeah, these nicknames do have an impact on you.
Mm.
Although you really cannot say much because, again, like, should not be crying. Boys have to be... I mean, I'm changing the topic a little bit here and there, but I think you get the point that, you know, in a boys' boarding school, boys have to be like, be a man. Like, statements like these, you are repressing your own, the way you feel about certain things, and then you have to live with these names.
Mm.
And then imagine being called a fatso. I mean, fatso, there's nothing very vicious about this word, but like you being labeled as fatso. Now, wherever you go, whoever you're around, probably that's the first thing that will come to your mind, that this person thinks that I'm a fatso too. But I'm more than this. I'm not just a fatso. I'm more than this. So yeah, I do think it was a problem back in the day, but people didn't express it as much.
Do you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys know more than me, but just a couple of years back, I was looking at a few posters. You know, in all the high-risk industries, we have a lot of safety posters which are stuck everywhere. You know, what are the safer ways of doing things? And there was this one series of safety posters which I had been seeing for almost the last 20 or 30 years, and it's only now I actually realized that all those posters, wherever they want to show the funny guy or they want to show the guy who actually gets hurt, it's a fat guy. That's the way those posters have actually been made over the last few decades. I mean, how illogical or ridiculous is that? That just because you are a relatively heavier person, you are more likely to be unsafe. Then, like, do people use this even for recruitment criteria, I hear?
Yeah, so actually, a lot of studies have been done, and they have actually proven that if two candidates of a similar qualification do apply for the job, the person who is more attractive by social norms actually ends up getting the job as opposed to the other one, even though they might have a better skill set in something else.
Ah,
So that's why the
now I know why I have been jobless for so many years. Okay, go on. Okay, go on then. Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely is a big there's a big role that looks play, and it's not just, I think, in corporates where now obviously I'd like to believe at least that things are changing because you know there are more people applying for the job and very similar skill sets, but in other walks of life, especially like how Shivam said, you know, when he was talking about his school experience and normal school experiences that I also went, and I also was quote unquote a heavier child growing up.
Okay.
I also experienced different kind of nicknames that, you know, I had to go along with. So these things, I think they really stick out in life. And, you know, when you grow up and you say apply for a job, let alone the other person typecasting you in your head, these things run, you know, and you tend to pull yourself down and maybe you don't, you know, even reach your max potential because you keep thinking that, oh, if someone else thinks this about me, then maybe I'm not suited to do X, Y, Z.
Fair enough. Okay, let's flip to the other side of the card now. This is one side of the card. This is where I think you both will agree with me, and hopefully our audience who's listening to this podcast, that recognizing this is the first step. If you don't recognize this as a situation where people get affected, then that's a big no-no. So if you recognize that, yes, it could be a problem, you'll probably take a first step and you would, you know, try to refrain yourself from partaking in such acts. But let's flip to the other side of the card now. What about the people actually becoming oversensitive about this matter? I mean, is there a kind of a line one has to draw? Because let's face it, I mean, if you are going to see, for example, two sticks and one stick is 5 feet tall and the other stick is 2 feet tall, the 2 feet tall stick is shorter than the 5 foot stick. You might not mean, one argument might be that you are not meaning to demean somebody, but you are just using that as an endearment. I've also heard people in certain cultures, you know, like in India, we have a word which is like, hey, Moti. It's used for a lot of daughters, it's used for like a lot of family. It becomes like a way of life, it's a kind of an endearment. Do you think there is a line? Or it is so black and white that you never ever call out to somebody by their physical appearance? Is it that strict? Let's start with Shivam here.
So I think it's the context that matters. Even in comedy, you exaggerate one aspect. So it like you can joke about literally anything under the sun, but it's the context that matters.
Ah, well
So
said.
like you said, like for example, now you calling somebody Moti. Now you're coming from a very innocent place. There is nothing malicious about you calling someone Moti.
Correct.
And then that's the context, and that the context has been defined between the two parties, between you and whoever you're calling that nickname. And then that person knows that, you know that, and it's a very clear transaction of words. For me, it's always the context. If the context is fine, if the context is correct, then I don't think it's a problem. And yes, being oversensitive has become an issue. PC culture has taken over a lot of industries, I mean, especially in entertainment industry, you can't say a lot of things, you can't be, I mean, working on stereotypes is fine.
Right.
It is an issue. Building on them is an issue. But then reinventing them, showing them in a different light, that, in my opinion, that should not be an issue.
Mm.
I mean, I was lucky enough to watch Irfan Khan's interview, one of his interviews, I guess, yesterday or day before yesterday, late Irfan Khan's interview. And he mentioned that he'd been offered over 100 roles by Hollywood to play a terrorist, and he declined almost every one of them. And the reason he gave was that you were not exploring what a terrorist actually is. You were telling me to play that stereotype. I don't want to play that stereotype.
Yeah.
That is me doubling down on that stereotype.
Correct.
So, I mean, again, coming back to this point, it's always about the context. What is the context of you calling somebody a nickname that could possibly be derogatory in another context?
Zen, do you sign on that as well?
Yeah, I think I completely agree. Like he said, context or the tone that you say it in can mean a lot. If you are going to put it across in a demeaning way, then obviously it's not going to be beneficial. But if you are joking around and if the person you are addressing already knows from where you come from and you know what your intentions behind it are, I think that...
Okay. So what we are saying is that you have to be aware and sensitive of how you handle the subject. There is no point to go, you know, no, there's no point going over the line and just shutting your mouth or putting a tape on your mouth before you call a spade, so to say. But you have to be aware of who it is, what is the context, as Shivam said, how sensitive it is. And if you've established the equation with the other person, it should be an okay. And last and not the least, since we've looked at these two points, we also have to selectively try and address if there is something or a name or a particular description that I am being called out by and I don't like it. And I see signs that it is going to disturb me in the near or the far future. What can I do about it? Should I speak up? Should I write it down in a diary? You know, should I talk to my nearer? I don't know. I'm asking this question to people from the psychology background, as well as from the creative arts, where your looks, good, bad, etc., don't really matter, but they start defining you. So let's start with Shivam, maybe, that if you do start, you know, recognizing that you are becoming a victim of this, how do you think one could handle this?
I still haven't figured a way to handle the situation, sir, because again, like Zain said, it is very deep-rooted, and considering how social media has developed, you have to put up pictures. Being from the industry, I have to put up pictures, I have to put up my videos, because
correct.
How else will I reach the correct audience, or how else will I reach the people that I want to reach? And at the same time, I have to as many auditions as I can.
Correct.
Now, every time I meet a new casting director, I don't know what kind of casting director that person is.
Mm-hmm.
And that person might just label me the moment he or she sees me.
Correct.
And I cannot do anything about it, because again, it's that person is in a position of power at that moment. If I call him or her out, then it'll be bad for me only. That person will probably very politely ask me to leave or not even select me.
Okay, what if it starts bothering you? What if it starts bothering you? Is there a way... Or maybe Zain can help here. I don't know.
I would like to hear what Zain has to
say. Zain, do you think there is some way, if you realize it, that this thing is boiling and it's beginning to bothering you, can you like kind of start to do something about it?
So I believe that if it starts bothering you, and maybe if it's a person who's close to you, say a family member or friends or someone you can actually go and have a conversation about, communication is the crux of any relationship.
Correct.
So you should definitely go ahead and communicate how you're feeling. It doesn't have to be an argument or a fight. It can simply be a statement where the other person knows how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But in situations where maybe you can't go up to the person and talk.
Like Shiva has stated just now. That could be a situation, professional, where he cannot go up and tell his casting director, hey, don't say this to me. You know that, or you can't say it to your boss, for example. Yeah.
So if it's that sort of a situation, maybe you should sit and evaluate the situation and talk to yourself. I think if you are at that stage where you can, and explain to yourself that you are so much more than what a label might be that someone else is giving you. maybe look at the other people in your life and the things they have had to say. Or maybe sometimes it's something that really helps a lot of people is pending it down. Maybe, you know, writing down your feelings and just letting it out. So it's not stuck inside. Because sometimes when things get stuck inside,
correct,
it builds up.
How about looking for help? When does that come in?
Looking for help comes in when you start realizing that you are probably engaging in some sort of a destructive behavior for yourself.
Got
so
it.
A lot of times, these sort of things can lead to you feeling low for days at end. You know, you constantly worrying about yourself. See, all of us have some confidence issues once in a while. We all get nervous. We all get conscious.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts escalating and when you realize that it is harming you and the people around you is when you should go and seek help, I feel. And from what I have learned, you know, studying the subject as well.
Okay.
Initially, it's always good to try and help yourself.
Right.
But if it does reach a point where it's destructive, then help should always be looked for.
Shivam, do you sign on that? Do you sign on if it becomes a self-destructive situation, you should...
I completely agree with her. Go to a professional, talk to a professional and work it out. Work it out.
Okay, great, guys. You know what I must say? I am so excited and thrilled because when I speak to people like you, you see, my experience comes from a very different profession. We come from a very regimental profession, and there's a certain way of upbringing. Of course, I must admit that even in our industries, things are changing very rapidly. But it's such a great thing and a pleasure to talk to youngsters, to talk to people from your background, varied backgrounds who come with us. And I have to sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank both of you, Shivam and Zehen, for joining us at this episode of Illogical with Captain Shori. Thank you, guys. Stay safe.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain.
So that was Zehen and Shivam with us. I am so impressed and amazed at the insights that these two young people, well, relatively younger, to me at least, threw on this very, very important topic. Once again, I thank you all for joining on Psych Illogical with Captain Shori. We look forward to your comments. We look forward to you sharing this. And who knows, the next guest could be you. Thank you. Captain Shori signing off. Stay safe. Stay happy. Keep rocking. Bye-bye.